Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
It is most obvious that when the human race started, according to Genesis 1, God gave them every green herb for food. It is stated that all creatures ate only herbs or vegetables. Meat was not in the diet at that time. In Genesis 9:3, the scripture states, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as a green herb I have given you all things." Now that was after the flood, you know, after Noah's day. So after Noah's day, the human race was permitted to eat meat. From that day on, meat was in the diet. Later, under the law given to Moses, certain animals were on the no-no list. Only those with a split hoof and that chewed the cud were permitted as food. Of the water creatures, only those with scales would be eaten. And above all, the blood was strictly forbidden. Today, there are those who rigidly adhere to these strict directives. Some are strictly vegetarians. It is somewhat remarkable how well the vegetarians are. They get along well, very well. Now, some dietitians argue that we must have a certain amount of meat in our diet. But that has not been proven absolutely essential. We can get our proteins and vitamins from other foods. In Paul's day, the idol worshippers made animal sacrifices, as indeed the Jews did. And often when they made those sacrifices, they ate the meat they had sacrificed as a sort of fellowship meal with the idol, or with God, as it happened to be. Pagans, sometimes following the sacrifice to idols, had a communal meal to fellowship with the idol and their friends. In Corinth, some of these Corinthian Christians were invited to their pagan neighbors' meals, apparently. In 1 Corinthians, Paul addresses a practice of how it affects Christians. "Now turn in your Bible to 1 Corinthians 8 for my message which I have called, Watch Out How You Live. Watch out how you live. This is the last message in the division of the book which I have called, Christ is made unto us righteousness." Now, follow in your Bible as I read 1 Corinthians 8, 1-13. Pay close attention. That is 1 Corinthians 8, 1-13. "Now, as touching things offered unto idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. But if a man love God, the same is known of him. As concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there are gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, for some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. But meat commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. For if any man see thee which hast knowledge sit at meat in the idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? And through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died? But when ye sin so against the brethren, and wound their weak conscience, ye sin against Christ. Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no meat while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend. My friend, in Paul's discussion, I find several foundational equations as related to how we should live. The first equation is knowledge and love. The apostle says, everyone has knowledge. Yes, that's true. Some have minimal knowledge and some have more knowledge. The mind is capable of both. That's why we send our children to school. We can train the mind. That is why some of us buy books to read. That is why you are listening to my radio program right now. You believe that what I will be able to bring to you will help you, build you up. Some take pride in the knowledge they have. They think themselves to be more than they are. That is what the apostle says. If any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing, as he ought to know. 1 Corinthians 8, verse 2. When we compare what we know with what is out there to know, then we know very little. Everybody knows very little. No one can justify or take pride in how much he or she knows. Well, of course, knowledge is preferable to ignorance. Ignorance is not bliss. Knowledge is helpful. But the apostle says, knowledge puffs up. So love is superior to knowledge. God has both fully. When one exercises love, then he has a knowledge of God, and God has a knowledge of him. Love identifies us with God. In this equation, love outweighs knowledge. The second equation is knowledge and conscience. We take up the questions of right and wrong. Let me tell you, it is never right to do wrong, no matter what the end may be. The end does not justify the means. Furthermore, every person has a conscience. I repeat, every person has a conscience. It is the voice of God in the soul. Even the most wicked and the most ignorant has a conscience, a monitoring conscience that tells them what is right and what is wrong. I would also say, no one lives up to the knowledge he or she has. That is our problem. That is our constant problem. We know better than we do. And the conscience judges every act. For 40 years now, teachers of ethics have argued for a neutral zone. They called it the gray zone. They tell us there's nothing right or wrong in that gray zone. Do whatever you want to do. I spoke briefly about this the other week. I affirm that is not true. Now, when you're dealing between two people, then you may have a gray zone. But when you are dealing with yourself, there is no gray zone. Every person has moral principles that govern conduct, and every person is accountable for his conduct and accountable to his conscience. Here we look at the sacrifice offered to idols. When someone ate the meat at dinner after the sacrifice, it showed he considered the idol to be a god. Some of the Corinthian church members ignored it. They said, the idol is nothing. It is neither here nor there. Knowledge, they claimed, gave them the right to eat, but they did not consider all the ramifications. I feel that many Christian people today do not consider all the ramifications of their conduct. They may very easily be a stumbling block to others. Watch out how you live. Conscience is superior to knowledge. The third equation is knowledge and liberty. The apostle warns us not to use liberty to hurt somebody. I read verse 9. But take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. Liberty can be a stumbling block. I examined the word liberty. I found it is often translated in the New Testament authority, only once liberty. Many times it is translated power, and sometimes authority. Now we get a nice picture. Take heed lest by any means your authority becomes a stumbling block. Every person must seek to control his or her conduct and avoid being a hindrance or a stumbling block. We are all on the stage all the time, regardless of who we are. On the stage, somebody is watching and drawing conclusions. That is awesome, rather frightening. Consider your neighbor, the apostle says. Take care of what you do. Support the right and good. Take care of what you do so that it does not run roughshod over somebody's conscience. No one has the right to trample over another person's conscience. We might say to them, "Don't be so silly." And yet, we have to consider how they think and how they feel. We never have liberty to cause another person to violate his or her conscience. We have some reason also to educate the conscience, our own, and help other people to educate their consciences. Now the Apostle Paul made a wonderful statement at the end of the chapter. He said, "Wherefore, if meat make my brother to offend, I will eat no flesh while the world standeth, lest I make my brother to offend." 1 Corinthians 8:13. You know, friend, life is more than food, clothing, and shelter. Paul instructs us how we should watch how we live. We need more than knowledge. Knowledge needs to be balanced by love. Knowledge needs to be balanced by conscience. Knowledge needs to be balanced by liberty. For this, we need God's help. So let us pray. Almighty God, righteous and holy art thou. We so often come short of where we ought to be, and many times people looking at us cannot understand why we operate the way we do. I pray, Lord, help us to be more sensitive to the consciences of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. Guide us in all these matters, I pray. We give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Dr. Yoder, for teaching us on such an important subject. We must understand that liberty is not the freedom to do what we want, but the freedom to do what is right. Now, perhaps you have some questions about what you heard on the broadcast today. We'll be happy to address your questions from a biblical standpoint. That's because we believe the Bible has the answers to all of life's questions. So send your questions, your comments, or your prayer request to us today at Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or go to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send them by the email link that's provided there. Once again, the mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And our web address is www.heraldsofhope.org. I hope you'll join us next week as we study the book of 1 Corinthians together. We'll hear the first part of Dr. Yoder's message, The Vocation of the Man of God. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.